now focusing on a unique college dodgeball event.
You guys suck!
After termination is completed.
So to transition, switch gears a little bit here, we're going to go to something a little more near and dear to myself and Benjamin's hearts. We actually have, Western Kentucky University has a game coming up on February 19th, which is a Thursday, at 6 p.m. at Butler County High School in Morgantown, Kentucky, against the University of Kentucky. It's battle for the Bluegrass. I think this is the third year. I think the first year UK came and did like a little inter-squad game, and then last year was actually the first official clash of the Kentucky schools at Butler County High School. So
and they won, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah,
they won, I believe, 5-2. So
yeah, that's not too bad.
No, we had, I believe, like 10 new players on the team at that point. So we were not very experienced, and that definitely ended up costing us.
It's gonna be a little bit more competitive this year, I think.
I hope so. I'm feeling really good about it. We're gonna have. This is without a doubt the highlight of our season, because we're not Grand Valley. We don't pull in, 150,000 fans per game. We're more in like the 112,000 range. Actually, we play in front of nobody, crickets basically. And so to have an actual crowd, even if it is mainly a neutral crowd, not really for one side or the other, just kind of there. It's really cool, and I can speak from experience that last year's game was pretty awesome.
We're gonna try to bring a whole lot of people. I know. Me personally, I'm gonna get everybody I know to drive down there and paint up and root for us. Hopefully, I don't know if they're actually gonna paint up, because that would just be
embarrassing.
Unless
you had a very good swimsuit body.
Yeah.
So, but. The cool thing about this is, there's just several things that just make this such a great, opportunity for both teams. And I would encourage any team in the NCDA, if you do not have an event like this, to maybe consider it, because this is actually a fundraiser for Butler County High School's after prom program. It keeps kids from going out and partying and drinking and, doing drugs and having sex after prom. Gives them a safe, environment to go to. After the big dance, and that's something that is very near and dear to my heart, and I'm happy to be involved, and for the people of Morgantown who have been suffering through this power outage as a result of the ice storm, it's gonna prove as a nice little diversion, I think, kind of to forget about the fact they have no heat or electricity.
I think all of Morgantown is gonna be there. Every person.
I would say that's pretty a safe assumption. Last year I'd say maybe 100 to 200 fans, somewhere around in that range. I mean, their side of the bleachers were packed. Put it that way.
What was ours? Do we have like a couple?
We had some actual fans up in the second level of bleachers, so that was pretty cool. They actually, if you go back and watch the videos on our YouTube channel, you can hear them chanting WKU. So we did have some homers there for sure.
Well, let's get some more. I want to see a whole bunch of WKU.
Yeah, me too. And, something cool with this is that it teaches dodgeball to, elementary school kids, middle school kids, high school kids. Because before the game, we bring the elementary school kids down onto the floor and kind of go over the fundamentals of dodgeball with them, throwing, catching, dodging, that type of thing. And it's just kind of cool, to interact with the little people.
Mm-hmm.
After the game, actually, we invite everyone down who is middle school age and older, all the way up through adults, who want to come down and be in like a scrimmage type situation against the losing team. So hopefully that'll be UK this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that had to be funny. A few people were throwing pretty hard at you, right?
Yeah, we kind of went into it just joking, jumping off people's backs, doing spin around throws, stuff like that. Some of the older dads trying to relive their glory days, trying to start cranking up the intensity a little bit. So we had to put them into our put them in their place, and some innocent civilians may have got harmed in the process. But that's just dodgeball.
Good, clean fun, really.
It is, really, and that's what I think dodgeball is supposed to be about, is just getting smacked in the face with a rubber dodgeball. I mean, it's just nothing like it in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, how's WKU gonna prep for this? What do you think?
Well, we actually have a pretty interesting situation taking place this weekend. While the teams in Michigan will be duking it out amongst themselves, we will be preying upon high school students. We have a local high school here. Actually, my alma mater, Greenwood High School here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, has put together a unofficial dodgeball team and been talking a little bit of smack. So,
where are they talking smack? Where's the smack talk taking place?
Well, you know,
Facebook or something?
Well, no, I got a call over the break from one of our players who was eating with their team captain, saying that, you know, they had a team and were talking a little bit of smack, thought that college dodgeball was a joke. So, you know, I said, well, we'd be happy to have you come out in scrimmages, and they obliged. So they're bringing 12 of their, you know, comrades out this tomorrow to scrimmages for about an hour. So,
and yeah, we'll just go ahead and give them, like, you know, three players that we find in the gym.
Yeah.
And then see what they can do.
So, and, you know, as much as it's going to be fun for us to have some target practice, you know, on our first practice back over the break, it's more important, I think, to establish connection with this team, because they are actually part of a dodgeball league through our Parks and Recreation service here in Bowling Green. And, you know, all these kids are seniors. There's a good chance that some of them will be coming to WKU or, you know, to other Kentucky schools. So to make contact with them and let them know, hey, you know, there is a College Dodgeball Association out there, and if you're not considering doing something else, you should think about playing.
Yeah, it's a great recruitment tool. Not just for us, like you said, for any Kentucky schools that that are looking for players that are up and coming and at least know the game, at least know, you know, understand the rules, especially if they play against, you know, WKU tomorrow. They're gonna get a good sense of what college dodgeball is about, and boom, there you go. There's recruitment.
And you know, it may, you know, it does sound like a joke when you say we're trying to recruit you for a college dodgeball team, but you know, people in like the, you know, 1906 probably thought getting recruited for college basketball was a joke. So you know, this all has to start somewhere. And, you know, I think that...
We got scouts in the field.
Yeah, we're
got people everywhere.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting a cell phone call from one of our scouts right now.
Yeah, hold up.
Who's working out in California for us. No, it's just a good, you know, especially if you're a, you know... Well, if you're an established team or a young team, making contact with people who, you know, on their own are participating in dodgeball is a, you know, I think a very worthwhile investment.
I think a few of you guys are probably going... that's a good idea. And the other two, three people are going to be like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But whatever you can do to get players and get good players that want to be there, you got to do. And this is just a unique idea.
And see, the best way to spread, you know, news about any team, anything really, is just word of mouth. Even in, you know, the age that we live in, where you can pretty much contact anyone on any part of the planet whenever you want, I still feel like, and Ben, you may, you know, agree or disagree, the best way to get the word out is still word of mouth.
Oh yeah. Well, you just got that face-to-face element, and you're gonna show them how excited you are, which you can't really do in emails or Facebook. Like, hey, I guess you can do all caps.
No.
That's about it. We're excited about this dodgeball game. But if you're sitting there telling these people face-to-face, this game is a blast, you're not gonna have more fun in any collegiate sport than dodgeball.
Yeah.
And they're going to be excited to play. They're going to be excited to come out and try to do that with you.
And so the thing is, this is an opportunity that is probably available to any school that would want to start a team in the nation, because dodgeball is such an easy sport to play and maintain that parks and recreation departments anywhere in the country are probably establishing leagues. There's probably some type of opportunity somewhere in your community to get out there and tell these kids, hey, there is an opportunity to play once you get into college.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, you know, a little preview of the Battle of Bluegrass. We're very excited, and we'll have a story, hopefully some video for you guys, you know, coming up here really soon.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're ready, because here comes some tough issues.
Got some hookers in my room.
Oh, thanks, Patches. Maybe later.
Finally, we got a touchy subject, I think, one that will more than likely is a debate already on the forums, but we're just going to go ahead and offer our opinions on it. And that's what's going on right now with forfeiting. Jazzy, what do you think about this? What are we supposed to do as an association here to prevent this from happening, because it's already becoming a problem?
Well, I think the first step is you have to have consequences for teams that have to cancel an already scheduled match. You know, if you've got something on the books, an agreement with another team to play a game, and especially if that team has already reserved court space and made arrangements for that game.
Probably made deposits that they can't get back, all that other stuff.
Yeah, for those who have to pay for facility use. I just think that is, I don't know, I guess I don't want to seem harsh, but I just really can't see a reason for that. Because like I said, when we were a first-year team, I was literally pulling people out of the bleachers to come play for us. So numbers, unless you have like four people, should never really be an issue. But I think regardless of the situation, there has to be a penalty system in place to hopefully keep these teams from forfeiting, because it's becoming a problem.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, if you don't mind. I just got to say that, like, there is some reasons to cancel the game, but couldn't you just, like, reschedule? You know? Like, I mean, if you forfeit, it's one thing, but you got to have a really good reason. Like, you got to have, like, debts in the family and some with really important people on your team, like captains and all this other stuff, or... everybody's got like a spring break this week or so. I don't know. You're right. I can't possibly think, just on the top of my head, of a really, really good reason to forfeit. Just reschedule. Just be like, hey, do you guys mind if we move this to this next week? Is that all right with your schedule? Instead of just plain out forfeiting. Because then you just look like a pansy or something. I don't know.
Well, I think, I can understand, like, in a weather situation.
Yeah.
If the roads were completely iced over and there's just no way to travel from one place to another, that's completely,
But that's not a forfeit. That's a...
Yeah, that's a weather-related thing causing you to cancel. A forfeit, I think, is definitely within your control. Obviously, if there comes a bad ice storm and you're hosting a game, I guess another team, you should expect that team is not going to be able to make it. And in that situation, if Mother Nature... prevents you from playing a game, you shouldn't be penalized for that. That's beyond your control. But something when like the situation we had here with the upcoming Delta and Saginaw game, has been Delta called Janik, from what I understand, and forfeited, and I never really got a reason for that. I'm sure that there's a good one out there, and if there is, please let us know. What happened, what fell through. Because we want to know how to help prevent these things in the future from happening.
I mean, if it's personal, then keep it to yourselves or whatever. You don't have to, be that open if it's something like that. But we definitely would like to know so we could prevent it in the future.
This has become, it's not like a one-time thing. We had a couple forfeits before that.
Did we?
Yes, we actually had a forfeit by Henry Ford Community College, I believe, because of not having enough players. And, that's one of those situations that, obviously we would like to keep to a minimum, because there... I think, just call in some favors. There's always ways to find people that are willing to play one game. So it looks like, we're here on the message boards right now. Henry Ford Community College looks like forfeited to Michigan State, and CMU forfeited to Delta.
Are they just scared? I'd be scared. I'd forfeit too. I'll be honest.
That's a good point, yes.
Can we forfeit?
Yeah. That we're going to forfeit the rest of our games this season. Congratulations to the teams we're playing.
Well, I mean, is it that they're worried about, maybe kind of, padding their, there's something called padding the meters or whatever. Like you're basically, you don't want your record to go down if you know you can't win. You know what I'm saying? Like, could that be possibly why people are forfeiting? Maybe Delta was like, we got the win against Saginaw. I mean, why do we got to prove ourselves again and, possibly lose the point that we that we, you know, really worked hard to get.
And it looks like we got a bit of a debate going back and forth here, you know, on the forums as to whether or not, you know, not being able to show up at a game that you have scheduled should count as a loss on your record. And Benjamin, I don't know about you, but I think, as I've kind of stated previously, that, you know, unless it's like kind of a suggestion, like, oh, we could possibly play, you know, on the 20th of February or something. You know, if you're just kind of tossing around ideas, nothing really, and I know nothing is ever set in stone with the NCDA just because we're such a kind of informal association, but if you have plans and the team that is hosting the event is making preparations, reserving courts, getting referees, that type of thing, then it's about as set in stone as we can get. And to jerk the rug out from under that team, you know, for any reason that is within your control, I think should count as a loss.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, especially if that's what you're scared of. If that's what you're worried about, like, oh, I don't want this loss. Heck, give them two losses. I mean, they shouldn't. I mean, you've obviously talked to your team beforehand. Hey, do you guys? Is everybody good with this date? Can everybody keep this date open? And everybody's got to say yes before you even talk to the other captain. So, you've obviously agreed with your teams that this is going to happen. So, I mean, there's got to be a severe punishment or some kind of rule to prevent that, because it just can't be a common occurrence, that's all.
And I understand that it is very tempting sometimes to agree to a game date just because, you know, you're excited, you want a chance to play, and so you jump at the opportunity to play when it's presented before you talk to your team. But I think proper preparation when scheduling games is a huge thing that we definitely don't need to overlook, you know, in these early stages of the association. So, you know, before you even confirm or, you know, turn down any date, I mean, you always have to consider, you know, what your team thinks.
Yep.
I mean, we still, you know, here at Western are unclear on coming to Nationals because we haven't had a chance to talk to our team yet. You know, I would never make a commitment without consulting the people that are going to be affected by that decision.
Especially a big one like, you know, 8-hour drive or something.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that it's not that severe. You know, most of the time teams tend to play within their region, so it's not an 8-hour drive you're talking about. And it is a, you know, kind of a smaller commitment. But, you know, I think I'm not sitting here saying that we've got a bunch of inconsiderate captains who are, you know, going against the, you know, wishes and
no.
kind of ignoring the will of their team. But you don't always need to do that because it's very important to make sure that you and your team are on the same page when you schedule a game. And so, you know, I can understand the disagreements, the arguments that we're having here, just because, you know, I can see where people would say that we are such a, young, you know, association, you know, that there shouldn't be penalties, especially for new teams. And if that's the case, maybe suggest a first-year grace period.
Maybe. That's
a
good idea.
For teams that really haven't established themselves. You know, and if they decide, you know, okay, the second season they come out and say, we have a committed roster, we are ready to go, then, you know, start holding them accountable for missing games that they say they're going to be at. Because think about it, in life, you know, if you commit to something and, you know, you back out for any reason, especially when, you know, people start putting things in motion to make that happen, you know, it's not a good thing, and you need to avoid it. You know, not only does it reflect poorly on you, it just reflects poorly on the association. It looks like we're very bad planners.
Well, that and your team kind of loses a little bit of prestige. Like, you want to be known as a team that makes commitments and then sticks to them and is, you know, really serious about dodgeball. You don't want to, you know, right off the bat give a negative image of yourself, of your team, basically.
And especially since, you know, scheduling games is, you know, left strictly up to, you know, a team-by-team basis.
Yeah.
You know, you want other schools to be sitting around saying, you know, I really would like to get a game against Western Kentucky University. They seem like a good group of guys who, you know, if they agree to play us, would show up when they were supposed to.
Yeah.
You don't want it to be the other way. Well, you know, we could schedule with those guys, but they'll probably cancel on us last second or something.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But, you know, this is a problem that I think definitely needs to be addressed at the captain's meeting here
yep.
at Nationals, along with several other issues. But this is one that just needs to be nipped in the bud because it's, you know, there's really no reason for it. And if something like this can be prevented, we need to take steps to prevent it.
Yep. I think it's about all we got, right, Jazzy?
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this fourth installment, and I hope you're having a good semester so far, playing lots of dodgeball.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you guys probably back here around 4th of July.
That's perfect. Cut it. Cut it right there. That's the end.
Thanks for listening to Average Joe's podcast. Make sure to check out the latest episode of Average Joe's on iTunes or our website, ncdadodgeball.com. Until next time, just remember the 5 D's of dodgeball.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, dodge.
Bye-bye.